Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They have 136 draft beers. They have a late night menu. They have an awesome regular menu. They have anything you can want. LSU, Alabama, 2 weeks. It's happening. Saban's going down. It's at LSU, but it's a night game. You can go to the Pelican House. You can watch it all. You can watch the Saints try to get to 3-4 against Seattle. Tulane, get to back to 500. The Pelican House, they have all your sports needs. They have everything you want. 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You should support them because they support us. All right, the Saints are 2-4. Andrew, I feel like the Saints shot themselves in both feet and then sawed off.
And the nuts. And they shot themselves in the nuts.
And the nuts. They didn't give it away because they never led in the second half. But man, that was a road game ripe for the taking.
Yeah, I mean they ran out of time. You know, you felt like if there was just a little bit more time, the Saints were going to win that game. I mean, you just felt like even though they only had 21 points, the offense was moving the ball. They were the better team in the second half. I mean, they held the Chiefs to 6 points. That's the thing that's lost in all this that we forget. The Chiefs scored 2 field goals in the second half, and that's it.
And one of them was on a special teams. I don't know if it was a brain fart or whatever the hell, or just a mishit by Lutz.
Yeah, it was set up by a bad kickoff, yeah. So, you know, it's just too bad. Again, like, I think everyone's down on the defense, despite the fact that they completely shut down the Chiefs' running game in the second half and held them to 6 points. But... yeah, once again, it's, you know, sometimes they play 3 quarters, sometimes it's just a half, but it's never good enough. And that's been the issue. You know, the thing I take away from it is that, you know, it's just this team can't put 4 quarters together. And, you know, there are moments, and those moments are mired by inconsistency and struggles to put it all together. But the main takeaway I said, which was frustrating for me, and I told you this, Ralph, you know, this is a young team. You expect young players to make mistakes. And sometimes when you have a young team, it's just like that. You're going to have exactly what I described. But when you think about the 2 biggest killers in that game and the people responsible for causing it are Mark Ingram and Nick Fairley, veterans on your team, guys that are supposed to know better, you know, That's where it's really discouraging to me, because it's not the young players making mistakes. That's the guys that you're supposed to be counting on.
Yeah, so Kevin Held is joining us now. And Kevin, everybody knows the reason why we have you on this podcast is not for the jokes, but for your amazing ability to break down film. And you watch every play of every Saints game. Like, you're just locked in. You're just locked in. So on that 3rd and 17 that the Saints had to get a stop – and BWF gave the guy like 20 yards of cushion and couldn't close. Were the Saints playing man, or were they playing some kind of fire zone that did them in?
Well, if you're telling me that he gave him a 20 yard cushion, that sounds like something Jason David would do. It certainly wasn't any bump and run coverage. I am pulling this analysis clean out of my ass.
Tell the people why, Kevin.
I was getting to it. I have no shame. I did not watch a single solitary second of this game because my car died Sunday morning, and I was just like, you know what? Fuck this. This is God telling me you're not watching this football game. So
I don't think Kevin's ever pulled anything clean out of his ass, for the record.
No.
In his life.
Not for free.
And you'd think that Fox would have broadcast the Chiefs game in St. Louis, seeing as how the Rams, like, for whatever reason, they still play the Rams games here.
Oh my God.
The Rams already played in London. So you would think that they would play the Chiefs game, since, you know, the Chiefs are the only other damn team in the state, nope. And people actually want to see the Chiefs.
They hate broadcast the Rams to St. Louis. That's awful.
Yes.
I'm sure they have residual fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Ugh. I'm sure.
Wait,
they
so what
do.
Game did they
but...
play? What game did they play?
It was Philly and Minnesota. Oh. It was Philly and Minnesota.
Yeah, that was the game of the week.
The Rams played the Giants, but that happened in the morning. So they played Philly and Minnesota.
Yeah, those morning games, I've been forgetting about those.
Don't forget to set your lineups, kids.
I check my fantasy lineup, and I'm like, oh, yeah, they got a game. And they put it on, like, the NFL channel, and it was like an Easter egg. You had to find it.
Let me know if Nick Novak kicks any more field goals while we're
Before we get to all the negative stuff, Dave, I want to talk about the positives. And here's the
There is no positive.
Well, no. Is Michael Thomas, is he the best Saints receiver right now?
Okay. He's pretty good. Yeah, pretty good. I hate to say he's the best receiver, because you've got a guy like Brandon Cooks, and they're two different types of receivers, and they do two different things. So I think together him and Cooks are 1A and 1B. And then, oddly enough, I mean, Willie Snead the fourth had a pretty decent game himself.
He's
got to
cut
sometimes...
his hair, though, man. He got yanked down by the hair.
Well, look, that's, you know, either tuck it under your helmet, put in a ponytail, do something, but... otherwise, you just got to deal with it. But, and at the same time, Willie Snead can sometimes turn out to be Drew's favorite target on any given Sunday. So, but, I wouldn't say Michael Thomas is the best. He's 1B and along with Brandon Cooks at 1A. And it's great to see somebody who maybe is going to definitely be able to step up and fill that void that the Saints have lost since Marcus Colston retired.
He's better than Colston. He's like Colston if Colston could run fast.
Oh, let's not go crazy.
I mean,
let's not go crazy.
I think his ceiling is the
he's
best.
If he hits that ceiling, then you can make the statement.
He's on pace for 96 catches and 1,200 yards.
Shoot, 96 catches?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What did Colston have? I'm going to come out with a hot take here.
Uh-oh.
Michael Thomas ceiling, greatest Saints receiver of all time.
Yeah. Okay. He'll need at least like 3 more years of Breeze though to get there.
That's exactly the problem is that I don't know if he's got 3 more years of Breeze. We don't know who's behind Breeze.
Breeze. Nobody.
Sadness is behind Breeze.
Assuming there's ultimate sadness after Breeze for quite a few years.
Oh, there is. Joe Callahan got cut.
If Michael Thomas ends up putting up the same numbers as Colston without Breeze, then I would say that he definitely deserves to be called the Saints.
Joe
best
Horn put
receiver.
Up monster numbers with Aaron Brooks. So,
Aaron Brooks made backward passes and did stupid shit, but he could also sling the ball
before he wrecked his arm.
Right.
All right, Andrew. Here's a question for you. I know the Saints. Oh wait, we've got to go. We got to continue with the offense. Andrew, here's my question to you. Mark Ingram, I thought yesterday was terrible.
Are we done with the positive stuff?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah. Okay, I thought Mark Ingram yesterday was quietly terrible, and they needed to run Hightower more. And I feel like if Hightower didn't run with a walker, instead of having like 40 yards, he'd have had like 100, dude. He had like two plays where, like, if it's Lasko running the ball healthy, it's like a 30-yard run. But Hightower is so old and slow that he only got 10 or 15, but he had better vision than Ingram yesterday, I felt.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You think so? I thought Hightower looked pretty quick. He looked a lot quicker to me than Mark Ingram.
That's not
so – I think Mark Ingram looks so slow. I mean, I hate when they run the pitches to the sideline for Ingram.
Jesus.
I just – every time – he starts to go, and you can tell, like, oh, he's not going to beat this guy to the edge. He's not going to beat him to the edge. And then he tries to cut back, and he gets hit for a huge loss every time. And if he had just kept going to the sideline, it maybe would have been a no-gain play. That was, like, the best-case scenario. But instead, he tries to cut it back, and it always loses 3 yards. I don't understand why they continue to run that play with Mark Ingram. It drives me crazy. I think, like, Ingram had, like, 15, 16 carries. His yardage was okay, but his longest run of the day was 7. And I feel like that's – he's not getting to the second level. This has been this whole year where Ingram, like, he falls forward. He's tough. You know, if you keep him between the tackles, he takes on a couple hits and he falls forward. So I don't think he's useless, but it's just been frustrating. He never gets to the second level. I was watching the Bucks yesterday. I mean, they picked up Jaquizz Rodgers off the street, and he's ripping runs of 30 and 40. And
against
I'm
the
seeing
worst
this,
run
and I'm just thinking,
the history
like,
of Earth.
Why can't Breeze have this? Like, why can't Breeze have anything, like just something functional around him? Anything. A decent run game, like a kickoff return for a touchdown. Like, I just don't understand why everything around Drew Brees has to be god-awful.
Well, here's the thing, and another bad thing, it's about special teams. Kevin, I know you didn't watch the game, but the Saints did their normal Jarris Bird fair catches everything if it's going to be inside the 20-yard line. I feel like, Kevin, if we're a Jarris Bird fumble away from Sean Payton sending out 10 guys on the punt return team.
Or just snatching one of the equipment managers and being like, here, I snuck your name onto the roster overnight just in case. So here, put this on and go out there and just.
Or signing a guy.
Don't screw this up.
Or signing a person that does the 3 catches at halftime of the Saints game. If they make all 3 catches, they get to play the second half.
Exactly.
The cash catch.
The cash catch.
Or maybe the junior team retriever.
Either could be, I mean it. But here's the thing.
You know what blows my mind about the cash catch is they. I feel like they go out of their way to find the worst athlete in the stands every week,
dude. Because they don't want to give away like $1,000 and a case of Coke.
Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Are you insinuating that a contest held by an organization would possibly be rigged against the contestant, or at least set up in such a way to stack the odds against the person playing the game?
Call Donald.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Sir, this is a
sports podcast.
These
tonight,
sorts
Breitbart.
Of accusations are beyond the pale, and I will demand a full retraction in the morning, or else you will be hearing from my legal team. I bid you good day.
I said good day. Adieu.
But I mean, God. I fought with people again today, Andrew. The special teams for the Saints suck. They suck. And I mean, people are like, whatever, make the defense better. But their special teams suck. And it was – they almost had an extra point blocked. And, oh, by the way, Seattle has a dude that can jump the line and block kicks for this week.
Yeah, I mean, Will Lutz the blocked field goal thing is – I'm ready to call this a problem because – that now the Giants game, you know, the line blew that play up, but that's now 3 blocked kicks for Will Lutz in what, 6 games?
Yeah.
And that's a block kick every other game.
And Billy Wagner.
He's
gotta
get this under control. I mean,
Billy
that's the
Wagner's
problem now.
Like a high jumper, dude. He's gonna swat that
now,
thing
two,
back like
two
Shaq.
Of the 3 kicks from Lutz, 2 of the 3 that were blocked went in.
Yeah.
So I guess there's that, but the low trajectory is a concern. The kick return game is non-existent. Tommy Lee Lewis had like one decent punt return this year. Other than that, I would put the kick return game at the bottom of the league. I mean, if there are 32 teams in the NFL, the Saints are 33rd in returning. I'm convinced. And you know, I mean,
it's
punting's
not mathematically possible.
Oh, it is. It is. Kevin,
have you watched the Saints? Have you watched the Saints return kit? It's possible.
They don't.
But their punting. Their punting is A+. So you know,
yeah,
I'll take it.
Dave, I feel like Ken Crawley is maybe the most frustrating Saints corner of the last 10 years because he's not awful like Jason David or Brandon Browner. He's just almost can make the play. He's there, so you can't like rip on him and be like, oh my God, what are you doing, dude? You got burned. It's like, dude, why can't you make a play? I mean, how many he's like half a dozen times where like he could make a big play and he just doesn't.
And that makes you angry.
It does. Well,
as
frustrated. Frustrated because I don't hate him.
No, I think angry.
Angry.
I think angry. I think you should hate him.
I mean, are you not? How do you feel about where the corners are considering all the injuries, Dave?
I mean, considering all the injuries, I don't know if it could be worse, but I mean, it's about what you'd expect. I mean, and quality opposing quarterbacks are going to exploit that weakness and pick these guys apart. I mean, you know, the Saints were able to, you know, the defense looked a little bit better this week than we've seen in the past, and only allowed 20 some odd points. Which is low for them compared to the rest of the season, but that's, you got to take into consideration that, I mean, this is Alex Smith. I mean, how many deep, I mean, it's just, Smith is not the kind of quarterback, is not on that level, you know,
the Chiefs
as the elite guys,
that
he's not going to be able to exploit that and make you, no, they're not that good. They're not good, that good. And we still lost to them.
Yeah.
And you know, every now and then, you know, you see a decent play from one of these young guys, but for the most part, it's they're kind of like chickens with their heads cut off out there.
Here, Andrew, here's the thing with the defense that I get that they're,
and of course, Jarris Bird. Let's not forget about Jarris
Bird.
He's awesome.
Andrew, I get that the Saints defense is mostly terrible because they're on their like 6th and 8th cornerbacks and they have no edge pass rush. I get that that's terrible, but here's the thing I don't quite understand. Their run defense is like an internet stock from 1998. Like it's either the highest high or the lowest low. Like it's all over the map. Why is the run defense so inconsistent? I get everything else, but that perplexes me.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the first half, Spencer Ware was ripping 11-10. I mean, and half the time he wasn't even being touched until he was 8 yards past the line of scrimmage. So the first half was a disaster. And I think he only had like 6 carries. He only had like 6 carries for 50 yards at halftime. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, why are the Chiefs not running Spencer Ware every play?
I know. I was thinking that from my fantasy team.
But then, I mean, it was unreal in the second half. Like, there were so many 3rd and shorts. There was a 3rd and 1 where Von Bell makes a tackle short of the first down. I mean, there were number 3rd and 2. I mean, number of plays where the Saints made tackles short of a first down. And when they needed to get the ball back desperately, they were completely shutting down the run. You know, usually,
how's Von Bell looking grade wise?
Not great.
Is he getting better?
He's playing like you would expect. I think you would expect as a rookie. He flashes at times. You know, he made that great play on 3rd and 1 at times. He looks fast. At times he takes bad angles. You know, he kind of looks like Malcolm Jenkins did his second year. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, I think we soured on Malcolm Jenkins after a while because the inconsistency just continued. But, you know, his first year, he made some plays. He missed some tackles. He was kind of up and down. I think that's what we're seeing from Von Bell. I mean, Jarris Bird, I mean, I know you're asking that rhetorically, but he is a disaster.
So you're saying Von
Bell. I wasn't asking that rhetorically. I was asking that to point out that Von Bell is still fucking better than Jairus fucking Burt.
I mean, Burt is just, I mean, you know, obviously the broken back and then the knee injury. I mean, clearly he's done. He's never going to be what he was in Buffalo. He was a great, great NFL player, and physically he's
not
just,
here. He wasn't.
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, he physically sense. he can't go back. And I think he looks a little overweight too.
Oh, fantastic.
Which probably doesn't help, but I mean, it's
New Orleans cuisine strikes again. All right, Kevin, the Saints are playing one of me and you's most hated people this week. The Truther, a.k.a. Pete Carroll.
It's a shame they couldn't lose last night.
I feel like it was – that's for the as far as the Saints went, it was the best-case scenario. Like, it was a total just bloodbath war that went five quarters, and they had – and Seattle had heartbreak at the end. Like, it couldn't have gone – better for the Saints. But Kevin, I know that like Atlanta's like the most hated and we always want the Saints to beat them, but if you looked at the schedule, I have to think Seattle would be really high on your want to see the Saints win list for the 2016 season.
I'd probably put them at number 2 behind the Falcons at the end of the year.
How you live with that thing?
It's just, you know, that's a $4,000 cat, Dave.
That cat's weighing in.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? Oh my God. This is going to be like a Seinfeld episode. Your neighbor is going to hire somebody to come and steal that thing. And
no, it was given to us.
To a farm upstate.
It was given to us because it's crazy.
No shit.
My wife says she's gifted.
My wife. You're a little late there, guys.
But Kevin, I mean, like your hate for
you Pete guys are like the Jairus Bird of making the my wife joke.
that's a good one there. So Kevin, Pete Carroll, I despise the man. I'm not saying I wish him ill. I'm just saying that if he fell down a well, I might not help him.
Yeah, but 9/11 was an inside job.
Yeah, it was. Tell you what, it was an inside job. His kicker shanking that 20-yard field goal last night. But Kevin, like, this is the one for you. Like, if the Saints are only going to win like 4 games all year, like, you want this one?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, this is my second one behind the finals game of the season against Atlanta.
I asked this knowing full well that the Seattle offensive line is non-existent and that they just scored 6 points in 5 quarters against the Cardinals defense.
28th in scoring average,
18.5
points a game.
Knowing that and that they're 28th in scoring and that Russell Wilson is basically broken right now.
And their left tackle's out.
All of those things factored in. I placed the over-under on combined touchdowns for Jimmy Graham and C.J. Spiller at 5.
I think that might be low, Andrew, because all week long – here's the thing. All week long, the Seattle media and the Saints media and the national media is going to be asking Pete Carroll, "That was kind of dumb you traded away Max Unger considering your offensive line's a dumpster fire, wasn't it, Pete?" And you know he's going to want to show out Jimmy Graham. One, because Graham wants to stick it to Sean Payton. But two, he wants to be able to say, no, we got Jimmy Graham, and trading for Jimmy Graham was a good idea. So I think that total might be low. I would bump it up to 6.5.
God, can you feed that fucking cat, for God's sake?
My wife.
Now. Jairus Bird.
So, I think it's at 6.5 in Vegas.
Yeah, if you have Jimmy Graham, you should definitely
start. I think
the
Saints would be better off playing that kid Jairus over Jairus Bird.
You might be right. I gotta
just
give it.
Add
to
an extra.
I had to give it to the Saints. The Saints PR/social media people. They have turned their social media, all their social media channels, into just like Make a Wish Foundation, and it's awesome. Like,
I'm fine with that.
No, I mean, that's a, like, if you're an NFL team and that's your social media, like, that's the only way people are going to pay attention, and it's an awesome way to do it. I think it's seriously, like, awesome. They're just like kids that are terminally ill or you know, whatever. They're pushing them out through social media. I think it's phenomenal. And seriously, the Saints Twitter feed is probably like top three in the NFL.
It's solid.
As far as like fun and whatnot. Before we get
to the Twitter guy play defense?
Can he? Here's something else, Andrew. You break down the film, and I thought of it during the game, but when I saw it in your grades, it made me think about it even more. I feel like Craig Robertson was awesome at the beginning of the year, and now they've moved him to middle linebacker, and he's not as good anymore.
I agree. I don't think the position changes really work to their benefit there. Now, you know, when LRB comes – well, never mind. I'm not even going to go there.
When LRB comes back.
Yeah, yeah. So, Kevin, you wanted a retraction. I will give you a retraction.
Kevin, who will be Secretary of State for President Trump? That's the same as when LRB comes back.
And now, wait. Now, Stephon Anthony dressed, right? He wasn't inactive, right?
No, he was out with a hamstring.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah, sure he was.
LRB, God.
I don't know what the Saints do, man. I don't like Robertson at middle linebacker. I don't think that's really working out. And he was playing so well.
So what
leave
do
it
do?
To the Saints to fuck up the one good thing they got going.
I don't know. I don't know who you put at middle linebacker. I don't know if you try Laurinaitis again. I don't know if you give Anthony a shot at some point.
What about Maudie? Can Maudie play middle linebacker?
Not well.
Hey, man.
If the alternative is Maudie, I think I'll just stick with Robertson.
Hey, the 49ers are rumored to be thinking about a fire sale. Can Navarro Bowman play middle linebacker?
Isn't he hurt?
Oh, he'd fit in perfect then with the Saints. See? this
isn't Navarro Bowman out for the year?
No, he's back, I think.
He is?
I think he's back. He was out last year. I don't know. But the 49ers...
What was I going to say? What injury did Navarro Bowman have?
He, like, ruptured his knee.
Yeah, this is definitely a $40 million deal we got to sign then.
I mean, he was really good like 3 years ago.
Oh, great. That's great. That's what you want to hear about all your free agents.
Jarris 2.0.
He was really good three years ago.
He was really good 3 years ago describes at least two of the Saints' current linebackers.
You know, I had hair 10 years ago. Big fucking deal.
You are right. He is out for the season. So the Saints cannot trade for Navarro.
Yeah, I nailed that.
My plans are awry.
No, why not? Bring him in.
He might be better than Laurinaitis with one functioning Achilles. All right, we got Twitter questions. Dylan asks, by the way, people, donate $1 or $2 or whatever. We got to keep the lights on here. Donate what you can.
Fucking donate.
Yes, please.
Get out the wallets.
Break it out and donate.
Christmas is coming.
It's exactly right. I got a bourbon.
What do you think? We do this podcast for free?
Yes, exactly. We do. Dylan asks, is LRB alive? I cannot confirm that.
He did practice last week on a limited basis.
He injured himself warming up during the fourth preseason game, dude. He like must have like his quad must have like fell off the bone or something. I don't even
know. I mean, I understand that quads linger or whatever, but do you guys realize how unbelievable it is that Bro and Rankins both with broken legs? Like at this point, they have a really good shot of playing before LRB.
Oh, Bro is totally.
Well, they're definitely playing before. Yeah,
Bro,
LRB. Yeah, totally.
Bro is definitely playing before. Bro is going to play against the 49ers, I think. Let's see. Could we start?
Well, so is Rankins.
Yeah. Could we start a petition to fire our special teams coach?
Oh yeah, that'll do a lot of good.
Just make Morstead the special teams coach, player coach.
Let's see. Do we have? Kevin, what wrestler describes the Saint? What wrestler washed up and over the hill describes the Saints defense?
I would say Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Cause he was never all that good to begin with. And I know I'm going to have Wang send a tweet to me saying he won the first Royal Rumble, and that's fine and dandy. But Hacksaw Jim Duggan never, like, his ceiling was exceptionally low, and he would meet it, and then the second he met it, it was back downhill. And so, yeah. Yeah, anybody that knows wrestling and knows Hacksaw Jim Duggan knows what I'm talking about. If nobody knows wrestling, I could talk for an hour. You're not going to get it, so.
I feel like playing the Saints defense is just like rolling the Wheel of Fortune. Like, there's all these prizes. Like, it doesn't matter what you roll. Like, it's all dollar values. Either way, the outcome is good.
I feel like the Saints defense is like an infomercial with Billy Mays Hayes. He's like, does your offense have trouble protecting the quarterback? Does your running game need a jump start? The Saints defense will cure all your problems.
did you say Billy Mays Hayes?
Billy Mays Hayes. We guarantee.
I think it's just Billy Hayes.
We guarantee the Saints defense will melt down your...
He's combining the major league character and the salesman, the dead salesman.
That liked cocaine.
Yeah.
So...
But who doesn't? Let's be honest.
This is from Alfredo. Andrew, I give you the best O lineman or the best D lineman available right now for this year's Saints roster. Who do you pick?
Best O and D?
Best, pick one. Best offensive lineman or best defensive lineman?
Oh, I can only pick one?
Yes,
you can only pick one.
What is this, fantasy scenario? Get out of here.
I would take J.J. Watt or whatever. I'd take a defensive player.
He's not healthy.
The same, yeah, whatever. Just give me a defensive lineman because the Saints are just like piecemealing it together on the offensive line, and Breeze is still just mauling people. Like, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter who plays in the front. It doesn't even matter who his receivers are. Breeze just owns everyone always. Everything changes around him, the offensive line, the cast of characters, the playmakers, the running backs. It does not matter.
He's on pace for 5,600 yards.
And this team, just give me a competent defense once in your life. Just give me something. Develop one guy.
The answer is Vaughn Miller, for Christ's sakes. That's the answer. Yeah. You know?
I mean, seriously, who in their right mind, like, that's such a dumb question. Like, who would want an offensive player to help the Saints right now?
I don't know. What would be, like, the best running back that would just make the Saints offense, like, ridiculous?
The question was linemen. The question was offensive or defensive linemen. You don't get to choose a running back.
I'm just saying. This is from John Murphy, Dave. Dennis Allen has maybe three true starters on roster and many that don't fit the scheme. Will he be back next year no matter what?
Yeah, he'll be back next year and it'll be his last chance and he'll suck it up. He'll suck and then, you know, we'll be on to our sixth defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way Sean Payton fires. I mean, he's just had too much turnover there.
No,
I don't think there's any way he can fire Dennis Allen.
I think Dennis Allen, considering, has done a slightly better than okay job.
I mean, he deserves another year. I mean, you know, just like in college when you get stuck with the previous coach's recruits. I mean, you know, it takes a little while to maybe get rid of some of those and clean house and bring in some of your own guys. And I think he deserves at least one more year to bring in some of his own guys. And
I mean, just give him a pass rusher, for God's sake.
Yeah. Here,
yeah, well.
Here's a question for you, Kevin, because you watched every second of the game yesterday. It's from Colin.
Yeah, thanks.
Why didn't we throw downfield even once? I was at the game surrounded by Chiefs fans. It sucked. That's from Colin.
You have no idea.
No, I don't. If I had to guess, I would say probably because the O-line didn't give Drew enough time, and I would say the wide receivers probably didn't get do a good enough job of getting separation. And the run game probably wasn't effective enough to have to make the defense to keep the defense honest.
This is from Pete Andrew.
Those are three things that I completely pulled out of my ass, and I guarantee one of them is right.
Yes.
No, I think that's a solid response, actually.
Oh, Andrew, this is from Pete.
I am completely invalidating sports radio tonight. This is
no,
wonderful.
You are making a pitch to be on ESPN's First Take. You know?
Talk out of my ass. I can do that.
It's you just read a couple of game recaps.
Skip Bayless still has a job.
Throw out a couple, dude. Skip Bayless makes like $6 million a year and got like a $10 million signing bonus to go to Fox Sports One where nobody watches him. You know,
is it really that much?
Yes, it was an insane amount of money, and even ESPN was like, we think we can put anybody on First Take and still people will watch. Because First Take is like that thing that's on mute at the doctor's office or a sports bar everywhere during the day. Andrew, this is from Pete. He asks, should we start to really worry about Teron Armstead?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I think anytime a player has a recurring issue, and there's no eject button here. I mean, again, this is a young player that just got a brand new contract. They're kind of stuck with him. And if he has got like a degenerative continuing knee problem, this is a guy that's missed a lot of games, and they've got a lot invested in him. I'm very concerned. Absolutely.
All right. So that about wraps it up for the Twitter questions today. All right. Let's get to...
Wrap it up.
Let's get to the Saints-Seattle game. Seattle is a 3.5-point favorite in the Superdome Sunday. Kevin, who you got? And give me your MVP or your GOAT of the game.
Jesus. All right. I'm going back to heart over brain here. So I'm going to say...
Dumb move.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, this is me we're talking about. I am looking forward to making dumb moves and being told I'm an idiot by the Twitterati.
Yeah, we need to keep track of our picks, but we don't.
So I will say 24-23 Saints. Ooh. And I will...
3-4, baby.
I will say BW comes through with a key comes through with an interception at the end.
BW.
Dave.
B Dubs.
Dave, you're going to be at the game. You're going to be at the game. So who do you have?
I will be. I will be in attendance for this weekend's contest.
And, bring your kid again. He seems to be good luck.
Yes.
Nah, I don't know if he is or not. No, I'm bringing a buddy of mine. He called this game back in August. Look, the Saints are going to lose. We can all agree on that. I think it'll probably be a little
low scoring. How can we all agree on that when Kevin just said they're going to win?
He said they were going to win. I thought he said they were going to lose.
No, he said
24-23.
Oh, you're an idiot.
Well, it's breaking news there. Jesus, Peter James.
I think this is the Saints' offense. I think this is the offense's toughest test so far this season. Seattle's defense looked pretty damn good last night. Especially after I was done watching the Saints.
They give up 14 points a game and 100 yards less than the Saints do on defense.
Yeah, I mean, I spent all afternoon watching the Saints' defense, and then at night I watched Seattle's defense and Arizona's defense, and it's like, oh, this is what a good defense is supposed to look like. Okay, I get it now.
Arizona did move the ball.
Yeah, oh, no, Arizona, on paper, Arizona had like twice as
They had the ball for 46 minutes. Arizona had the ball for 46 minutes.
Yeah, time of possession. that's how good Seattle's defense was last night. But anyway, so, you know, Drew Brees, I don't think is going to be able to be put up 30 plus points on these guys. And like you mentioned before, you've got Jimmy Graham and CJ Spiller, who are all, I think they're going to have a little extra in their pocket for this game. I'm going to say Seahawks win 27-17. And the go to the game is going to be everybody in the secondary. Jimmy Graham's going to have three touchdowns. So it's going to be whoever is in charge of covering him is going to be
the go. That
would
be Kenny Vaccaro.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, there you go. That dude's going to get run over like a motherfucker. Oh, by the way, you know what? Speaking of Kenny Vaccaro, this actually reminds me. I wanted to talk about this. I was listening to WWL today on the radio, and Kenny Vaccaro basically said that there are guys in the locker room. This isn't exactly how he worded it, but he said there are guys in the locker room who are just kind of okay with being mediocre. Which, obviously, if you extrapolate from that, that means that we have guys on this team that aren't playing to their full potential, that aren't. I'm just starting to. As soon as I heard that, it kind of reminded me of last season and the year before, and locker room issues, and I'm starting to wonder whether the wheels have already started falling off, and instead of a 7-9 season, this whole thing could go south real quick, and we could be looking at like 3-13. I don't know, another loss if they lose again to Seattle at home. I just, considering what Kenny Vaccaro said, I think this is just going to just still get worse. I don't know.
Dave spreading the joy and optimism.
I've been pessimistic about the season since the very beginning. I wrote maybe three articles this entire season, and the first one I wrote was during preseason, and it was basically, you know, saying buckle up because it's going to be a long bumpy ride, and I don't think it's going to be too pretty. So, far it looks like I was right.
Andrew, score.
Well, I'm sorry, guys, but we haven't seen the Breeze turnover binge game yet, and there's usually one or two of those a year. And I think Seattle's going to get up early, 14-0. There will be a 78-yard touchdown run by C.J. Spiller. Followed by a drive of passes that exclusively go to Jimmy Graham for the entirety of the drive. Of course, capped off by Jimmy Graham touchdown. Maybe on a jet sweep. Maybe Pete Carroll will give an homage.
Spike the ball for the goalpost.
Does Jimmy Graham dunk it? Does he dunk the ball?
Yes, he dunks it and bends the goalpost. So then it'll be 14-0. Sean Payton and Drew Brees panic. They start calling passes every play. Brees gets hammered. He throws four picks.
Oh my God.
Two which are returned for touchdowns. Final score, Seahawks 45.
Oh, God.
Saints 10.
Ooh. Wow. Wow. Man, has Nick Novak kicked any more field goals?
I'm not even saying, like, they're not winning a game the rest of the season. It's over. Like, I still think that I said at the beginning of the year, 5-11, I'm sticking with that. But I just think this is going to be one of those games where it starts bad and then the Saints go one-dimensional and it just gets going to be one of those games.
You know, here's the thing.
A Twilight Zone game.
I don't know if it is going to be 45-10, but, I mean, Seattle hasn't changed much at all on defense since they kicked the shit out of the Saints on a Monday night when the Saints were 9-2 and went to Seattle. And we were like, oh, this is for NFC supremacy, you know, in 2013. And they just obliterated the Saints. Now, I know it was that on the road and the Saints couldn't audible and that really hurts the Saints and they couldn't do some protection things. But good God. Here's the thing, though. God, that Seattle offensive line is bad. It's bad. They're down their left tackle. Russell Wilson is like, can't move around. Like, the Seattle just played five quarters. I just don't see it being a total blowout. I just seen it being like 24, 20, I'll say 27-13 Seattle. But at no point from the second quarter on will you ever think the Saints are going to win or even make the game interesting. So I'll say 27-13, and I'll say the go to the game is going to be Breeze, because I agree with it. I agree with Andrew. I think he's due for he's just due for like that four pick suck game.
He's good for one or two a year. And it's usually in St. Louis when we used to play the Rams.
Yeah, and I made this in my column. I'm going to make this my 5-star lock of the year. Seattle.
5-star lock of the year.
5-star lock of the year. If it doesn't come through,
what is it, Carl's? Carl's
Stone Cold Lock of the Century of the Week. It's my Stone Cold 5-star lock, Seattle.
Of the week.
So the Saints will be 2-5, and Atlanta will lose to Green Bay and be 4-4, and the winner of the NFC South is totally going 8-8 again for the second time in 3 years, and the Saints have a Hall of Fame quarterback, and it's not going to be them.
Carolina go 7-8-1?
That's so depressing. So depressing. And Atlanta pulled the total Atlanta move, which I called exactly correctly, that they would everybody would be about, oh, this Atlanta team's different. They're 4-2. They went to Seattle. They looked great, even though they lost, and they went home and they shit the bed versus Denver. Because their defense is just like a degree better than the Saints. Just barely.
Matt Ryan had a nice timely pick, I especially enjoyed the 4th-and-1 that lost them the game. That was a nice attaboy at Mike Smith.
It was. that was, and you knew they weren't getting it. It was delightful.
Hey, I gotta be honest with you guys. You know, I thought that the Falcons were gonna continue to do well, but you guys were. You guys said, no, they're the Falcons. They're going to shit the bed. They're going to collapse.
They're going to win.
Looking like you guys might have been right.
I think they're going to win the South. They're going to be 8-8, 9-7. I still think Atlanta's going to win the South, because I don't think Carolina can get their stuff fixed, and I don't think Tampa. I don't think Tampa's very good. I mean,
if Carolina lost to the Saints, that's how bad they are.
Yeah. And they get Arizona this week, so. Go to SaintsNation.com. Andrew's got his grades. Go to Canal Street Chronicles to listen to this fine podcast. And maybe Dave will write something before Thanksgiving. Go to the Twitters to find Kevin, or the Twitter face FarmersAlmanac.com to find
Farmers Almanac.
Farmers only.
To find me.
Kevin's working on a power ranking. It's coming out any week, I swear.
It's power.
Yeah, I'm ranking colors.
Remember when we used to
I'm
talk
very
about
high
Kevin's
on
power
green
rankings like 3 years ago?
Yeah. Kevin's power rankings were quite enjoyable, you know. It was like when he did them. You know?
Yep, when I was
Kevin,
on my
you,
game.
If you ever want to do a power ranking for Saints Nation, man, the open invitation anytime.
Thank you.
All right, so for Kevin, for Dave, for Andrew, I'm Ralph. Until next week, the bar is closed.
9/11 was an inside job.